Blog Talk Radio.
So I'm not hearing anything, but let's give this a shot, just in case we happen to be on the air. That's not wanting to play, so nothing wanting to really work here. Must be too slow. Test 1, 2, testing 1, 2, 3. Okay, so the problem that I'm having, bummer, we'll get it worked out. We will get it worked out, is that we're trying to work through Sam Broadcaster and the Sam Broadcaster and Blog Talk Radio. So what's happening is the Blog Talk Radio is not really responding. And yet if I get out of Blog Talk Radio and just go directly to Sam Broadcaster, we should have a pretty good voice here. So I'm not sure if we're being heard or not. I apologize for this. You know, this is what happens. We're broadcasting 24/7 again. Omega Radio's back on the air, which is awesome. But right now we're trying to see if we're coming through loud and clear. And I don't know if you're hearing me on Blog Talk Radio or not. If you are, that would be awesome to somehow let me know. Maybe press 1 on your dial pad. If you are hearing us on Blog Talk Radio and you happen to be on your phone and you could press 1 on the dial pad, we could tune in right away, listen to what is being said. I see a couple of numbers out there, but I'm not sure again if we're broadcasting through or not. That's the challenge. I'm pretty sure that we're broadcasting on the Sam Broadcaster over at omegaradio.org. But what's important right now is if we are coming through on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, so. All right, babe, is it coming through on Blog Talk or just on the, on what? On both. Okay, so the only thing that's happening then is that the player. Where is that coming from? Test? Oh, that's coming from you. All right, so that the player on the Blog Talk, Patricia, would you call into Blog Talk Radio and let me see if I could take your call? Because what's happening is I'm having a hard time connecting. It's like the player on Blog Talk doesn't want to respond properly. There should be intro, and it did not come through. So if you could hear me on Blog Talk Radio right now, and Patricia, if that's you, just press your 1. It looks like we're getting a thumbs up on others hearing on Blog Talk, on Omega. And Omega, when we're done with this program, will continue to broadcast 24/7. There'll be another, it'll just keep going all day long, which is wonderful. And now it's just getting this program on Blog Talk Radio, which is where we take our calls, to respond. So if you are listening to the Blog Talk Radio, if you're listening on that telephone number, would you give us a press 1 on your dial pad so that I can just chat with you for just a moment to see if we are getting there live. Now, what is happening is for some reason, this does not want to stop spinning and all that good stuff. All right, so it looks like we have a lot of calls on here. Patricia, can you hear me? Can you press 1 on your dial pad? Okay, you press 1, but it's not coming through, so I can't see that. All right, so what we'll do is we'll just get right into whatever it is we're going to get into today. And give you a little good news of what is happening. Unfortunately, at the moment, because this is the learning curve, I'm not sure how to receive a call. And for right now, that's going to have to suffice, but we will figure it out. Yesterday, Felicia got on the phone and we did a lot of work, and I couldn't, you know, the amount of people praying has just been awesome. And no, I can't hear you. That's the problem. I mean, I'll try to bring you in, but when I'm clicking on the buttons on Blog Talk, it's not responding. There's a major problem going on with that. So you're spinning right now. I'll figure that out. We'll get that worked out today. But here's the good news. We are now able, and with the level of interviews that we're going to be having in the next several weeks, this is terrific. And we have our Blog Talk, which we do live, right? So we're doing that live right now. And then we are live on Omega Radio. And I sent out a text message to everybody that does follow the Omega Radio, how to get there. And so you go to omegaradio.org, and along the menu bar where it says home, about us, et cetera, that's where you would find the listen live button now. So you don't go to the big listen live button on the far right where it says listen live 24/7. And then there's a call in. You don't use those. Just if you're on a computer screen, it's home, about, news, shows, join, donate, shop, listen live. And you click that listen live, and that'll take you directly to our page. And that's probably what most of you are doing at this point. And so we're tweaking it. And then what's wonderful again is when we get off this broadcast, there will be, who knows, I'm going to be downloading great broadcasts. So if you know of some messages out there that you think really need to be heard, send them to me, because once I put them in the player on Sam Broadcaster, you have this ability to just keep playing that as often as you will. And if it's an important message, we certainly want to do that. Here's the really neat thing about Sam Broadcaster is that you don't need Winamp and you don't need to start a Shoutcast box. This is all running through, and I'm pretty sure we're running through pretty clear. From what I'm understanding, we had a very clear voice. So, yeah, I can't seem to take a call right now. There's a couple out there. Let me see if I could get these on the line at all. I doubt it. I see 855-4156 is on. I see 23837 is on. So, but when I'm trying to answer the call, all I'm getting is a spinning effect or a spinning effect. And that's something I'll work out probably right after this broadcast tonight. We'll be heading out to Neosho this evening to be with our friends Jim and Bonnie in the outreach post, the outpost. And I'll be ministering up there at 7 o'clock this evening. I don't know. I haven't taken a look at the news for a couple of days, been buried in getting this ready. So getting back to Felicia, she walked us through and got us where we are. And I know that there's even some more improvements as we go. So let me do this. Let me just, for the joy of the Lord, do this. I want to read some Proverbs to you. Is that okay? Can we go to the book of Proverbs and look at a few of these? It's what Patricia and I were doing this morning. And I want to go to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. I want to look through a number of these Proverbs, because I believe these are going to make somebody really, really wise out there today. So on the Proverbs chapter 28, beginning in verse 9, Proverbs 28, verse 9, here's what we read. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Now, when I thought of that, I think about anybody that's living in rebellion or defiance or is just willfully sinning against God. When they pray, it's an abomination in the ears of heaven. I mean, you talk about willful sin. You talk about living a life that is, you know, outwardly religious, but inwardly perverse, right? That's what one would do that forsakes the law of the Lord. So even the prayer of one, it may sound oozing. I mean, the Pharisees knew how to pray really well, and Jesus got behind the scenes and saw their hearts, and that was not a good deal. And then in verse 10, Proverbs 28, verse 10, whoso causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. Upright shall have good things in possession. That's awesome. Are you looking around your life right now saying that God has given you good things? Good things. Spouse, children, family, stuff, whatever it is. It came from the Lord, right? You could say that came from the Lord. And so anybody that tries to cause the righteous to go astray in an evil way is going to fall into their own pit. All right, so verse 11, the rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that has understanding searches him out. So a rich man that's wise in his own conceits, he's got wealth, he's rich. Well, the poor man, if you will, that's rich in faith, sees beyond the facade into the rich man's conceit and realizes that this is temporary. This is not going to last for that rich man because he's wise in his own pride, his own conceitedness, his own wealth. He's taking pride that he's something because of what he has. And yet the poor that has understanding searches him out and realizes this is not good. Verse 12, when righteous men do rejoice, powerful saints, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. So what does it mean, a righteous man, when righteous men do rejoice? How many of you have been declared righteous? How many of you are the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? And so when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. So when you begin to rejoice, when you as a righteous man, a righteous woman of God rejoice, great glory is around your influence. I mean, you saturate the environment wherever you go because you're a righteous being. Think about that. There is great glory when you rejoice, but when the righteous are sad, right? When the wicked rise, then a man is hidden. I guess that is a wise man, a righteous man is hidden, and the glory is hidden. So glory abounds, great glory comes forth when the righteous rejoice. That sounds like a song to me. All right, so verse 13. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. You know what struck me about that? Even in the Old Testament, as we call it, whoever confesses and forsakes, which is repentance, shall have mercy. There was mercy available even in the Old Testament when people would confess their sin and forsake their sin, turn away from it, God's mercy was extended. Isn't that exactly the way it is today? That we too in the new covenant are to confess our sin, for if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so here we have the same God who wants people from the beginning of time to confess their sin, to forsake their sin, and they have mercy. Verse 14, happy is the man that fears always, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. You know, I looked at that and I thought, wow, to fear the Lord in everything, to fear the Lord always keeps one humble, keeps one doing what is right joyfully. Fearing God is a wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom, because whoever hardens their heart will fall into mischief. In other words, when we stop fearing God and we have this new covenant, you know, philosophy is, well, I'm forgiven now and God owes me something. And, you know, we're all sinners saved by grace and there's no sense in confessing and forsaking my sin. You know the story. You know, we could go out and do all these things and, you know, I'm not under the law. Well, I believe this is a principle that stands true for all. Happy is the man that fears always, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. Why are you happy if you fear the Lord? I mean, it sounds like a kind of a paradox, doesn't it? Happy is he that fears. Well, I thought fearing the Lord would be negative and put me under some kind of yoke. No, happy is the one that fears God, that stays within his commandments, that walks within his statutes and precepts and loves the law of the Lord. And you know, the law of the Lord in the new covenant is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and to stay away from evil and to, you know, keep away from sin. That is fearing the Lord, and you're happy because of it, because you're not hardening your heart and then falling into mischief that's going to cause misery in your life, right? And so verse 15 has a roaring lion and a ranging bear. So is a wicked ruler over the poor people. A wicked ruler over the poor people is like a roaring lion and a ranging bear. The prince that wanteth or lacketh understanding is also a great oppressor. But he, listen, that hates covetousness shall prolong his days. Boy, that is a scripture to look at. So you have princes that lack understanding. They are great oppressors. You have wicked rulers over the poor people that are like roaring lions and ranging bears. But he that hates covetousness shall prolong his days. What does it mean to hate covetousness? Covetousness is greedy gain, wantonness, desiring. He that hates covetousness prolongs his days. In other words, his mind is no longer set on what he can get from others. It is a mind that's set on the Lord. It is no longer desiring. A wicked ruler oppressing the people just want to take everything they possibly can because of their covetous desire. And so, to hate covetousness will prolong the days. Verse 17, a man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. So any form of violence, any form of shedding blood, any form of this, in God's perspective, the shedding of innocent blood is an abomination to God in any area, in any way. Do not shed innocent blood. Or do no violence to the blood of any person, because he who does shall flee to a pit. And there's something about killing, something about that kind of shedding blood that does something psychologically to an individual. Verse 18, whoso walketh uprightly, listen to this, this is amazing. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Look at that. I mean, even in the Old Testament, there was a salvation, right? And you got to ask yourself, what's the difference between being saved by walking uprightly in the Old Covenant and being saved in the New Covenant? Well, someone say, well, we don't have to walk uprightly in the New Covenant, and yet we're still saved. I'm not so sure about that. Come on. I don't believe that's true for just a moment. Let him who is righteous do righteousness. That's New Covenant scripture, right? So whoso walks uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once, shall fall at once. Now here's a big one. This is huge. He that tills his land shall have plenty of bread. That means whoever works hard at whatever it is they do, your land may be your job, your home, maybe actual land. So he that tills his land, who works it, who does it well, shall have plenty of bread. So work hard. You're going to have plenty of bread. But he that follows after vain persons shall have poverty enough. What does it mean to follow after vain persons? Following after people that are idle in the Hebrew, people that are empty, people that are worthless. These are the Hebrew definitions. People that are not laboring, people that are not working their field. You know, they've always got a plot. There's always a plan. And yet whoever follows them who are lazy and are not willing to work their land or till their land, well, you will have poverty enough. So till your land, get your job, work hard at what you do. Whatever it is that God has put in your heart to do, do with all your might, as unto the Lord. Now, verse 20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So in other words, if when you're faithful at doing what God has called you to do, you are going to abound with blessings. But when you're making haste to be rich, you're not going to be innocent. In other words, you're going to do something. If your heart or mind is on getting rich, you're going to do little tiny things here and there that are corruptible, that are compromising, that are not righteous, right? And you're not going to be innocent going after the wealth. But if you're faithful and you work hard at what God has called you to do and you till your field, you're going to have plenty of bread. You're going to be a faithful man. You're going to abound with blessings. And then verse 21, to have respect of persons is not good. Piece of bread, that man will transgress. In other words, when the rich man comes into our sphere of influence and we have respect unto the rich man, we need to know something. If we prefer that man above anybody else, that very man will become a transgressor just to get a piece of bread in the day that his riches are gone. In other words, don't think that anybody is better than anybody else. Do not have respect of persons in any area of your life. Respect one, Jesus Christ. Honor all men, right? But don't have respect one above the other because of what you think somebody has. If you think somebody has, I know people that the only people they talk to are people that maybe have something, but they don't want to talk to the person that's poor in spirit, right? And we all have to watch ourselves in these things. Verse 22, he that hasteth to be rich has an evil eye and considers not that poverty shall come upon him. So whoever's desiring, hurrying, wanting to be rich has an evil eye, an evil conscience. Look at the globalists today. Look at the world rulers today. Look at the George Soroses today. Look at all these wealthy, wealthy people in the world today. Well, what did they do to get so wealthy? They have an evil eye, and they consider not that poverty shall come upon him. You know, God can do it. God can bring poverty. So when you and I, speaking to us, don't have a desire to be rich with the things of this world. Have a desire to please the Lord. Work hard at what you have. Be content with what God brings. He'll shower you with blessings, right? So there's a beautiful way to do this so you don't get ensnared in your heart or in your mind. You don't have an evil mind that, when somebody walks through the door, you know, immediately, how much money can they bring? There's an old commercial, I forget what it was, where every person that walked into this guy's house had a Benjamin from a $100 bill on their forehead. And the whole thing was people walked in, they're your friends, but they have a Benjamin on their forehead. So this is something to clear the conscience, to be cleaned up before the Lord, to don't have any personal respect for the wealthy. Love all people of all sorts, accept all people of all sorts into prayer, right? But remember that whoever's desiring and hasting to be rich, they have an evil conscience because everything that's going on around them is a potential to build up their coffers, right? That's nonsense. Okay, that'll come to poverty. Verse 23, this is a good one. He that rebukes a man, which is always very uncomfortable, isn't it? He that rebukes a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue. You know, if we see somebody doing something that's not right and we just continue to flatter them because maybe they're big tithers or they have big houses or money or whatever, we're intimidated. Flattering tongue is never good. So if there's somebody doing something that's wrong and you really want to bless them and help them and be a, you know, positive influence in their life, he that rebukes a man will afterwards going to find more favor. I mean, that individual that a wise man will love rebuke because he knows it'll make him wiser. That's the scripture. So if you rebuke a wise man, he'll become wiser still and show favor to the one that rebuked him and actually say thank you for what he did. Whereas those that flatter people and never tell them the truth about what's going on, well, number one, they don't love them. And number two, they're not going to get the favor of doing what is right. Verse 24, whoever robs his father or his mother and says, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. Wow. If a man or woman or a child of a father or mother robs them and says, no transgression committed here, he's a companion of a destroyer. That's huge. How about verse 25? He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. But he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. How many of you know that we who are born again in the new covenant, in the church age for the last 2,000 years, all of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ because he chose us for that salvation, how many of you know that we've been brought into a better covenant with better promises? And yet Solomon was connected to an old covenant, and yet look, he says there's a way of life that produces the blessing, that produces plenty, that produces favor, that, you know, in other words, just by doing what is right, even under the old covenant, brought you into a blessed life. Now we have a better covenant with better promises. We have eternal life, an internal righteousness that is greater than the righteousness of the law. We have a righteousness that's by faith. And so we can live on this earth with all these external blessings, but knowing here's the better covenant is we go on forever in glorified bodies. And we are not only righteous externally, but the inward righteousness that comes by faith actually cleanses and creates a newness of life from the inside out. Oh, it's very powerful when you stop and think about what the Lord has done. It is amazing. Verse 26, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walks wisely, he shall be delivered. Do you trust in your own heart? Do I trust in my own heart? Do I trust in my own righteousness? Do I trust in my own opinions? Do I trust in my own knowledge and wisdom and understanding? Do I trust me? Well, that would be very arrogant and very short-sighted, wouldn't it be? No, our wisdom is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our wisdom is God's word. And if we operate out of something that says, I'm intelligent, I'm smart, that is pride. That is an extraordinary sense of pride for somebody to think that their opinion is stronger than the word of God, or their wisdom is more than God's wisdom. And Jesus Christ is our wisdom. So let us not be proud and arrogant and conceited. Let us condescend to the fact that before Christ, we were bumbling fools. We were on the wide road that leads to destruction and didn't even know it. How wise are we? We were so blinded and deceived, we didn't even know we were going to hell. Right? I mean, that's just the truth. So don't ever trust in your own heart. Pray to the Lord. Get wisdom from God. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust God and trust his word that no matter what it looks like, his word will be prevailing at the end. Verse 27. He that gives unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. Wow. He who gives to the poor shall not lack. Jesus said, you will have the poor with you always. Remember that woman took that alabaster box of oil, the most valuable gift, and she poured it on the body of Jesus. That's where everybody should be thinking right now. The body of Christ is where we should be lavishing the best that we have. And somebody got upset, Judas, and said, oh my gosh, that oil could have been sold for so much money and we could have given it to the poor. But Jesus said, you'll always have the poor with you. But what she did it for my burial. She did it for me. So Jesus never excluded the poor, but one man who had a greedy heart, which was Judas, he wanted that money, not that he cared for the poor, right? But he was being religious, and we could have taken that and used it. He was a robber. He stole from the bag, man. He was a bad guy. So anyways, verse 28, the last verse. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. You know, there's an email going out right now and a YouTube video about 60,000 arrests from treasonous traitors, betrayers, communists, socialists, men and women with ideas that were contrary to the intent of this country. And sure enough, when evil men, when wicked men perish, the righteous increase. Is that the time we're in right now? Are we going to see the demise of wicked men? Will there be 60,000 arrests? My first thought is never going to happen. You're not going to see it. But wouldn't it be cool if it did? Wouldn't it be amazing to turn the news on today, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and see that like ICE that was rounding up the cabal of MS-13 started rounding up all these political figures from Barack Obama to Hillary Clinton to Bill Clinton and on down the line of the traitorous treasoners. I mean, and all of a sudden they're all going to prison and nobody could stop it because some kind of inward group like ICE is rounding them up and sending them off to Gitmo. I mean, what do you think the righteous would do at that point if George Soros got arrested? If all these evil people, these wicked, evil people that love not God, that rebel against God, are defiant against God, hate God, and promoted their own global agenda, their own world desire without God, denying the Son his right, if all of a sudden they got arrested, can you imagine the rise of the righteous men and women of God in this earth? I mean, the crescendoing shout of divine justice being served. Oh, my gosh. Would that be awesome? Now, there's a brother out there, Mark Taylor, who's believing exactly that. And I have no problem with Mark Taylor having a voice to say these things and to bring these things out into the open. And I hope to God they are true. And I stand with him in that. I think that's awesome. And what's happening is each person in the body of Christ has to fulfill their calling and role. You see, I happen to believe that in order for a battery to work, to start a car or something else, there are both positive terminal and negative terminal. And sometimes I believe that God has brought these two terminals, these two prophetic realities, to complement each other, actually, not to be divisive. And so we always have to give place to, you know, what every person is being called and led by God to do. Now, sometimes that could be confusing because we hear one thing over here, we hear another thing over here. Here's my take on it, if anybody's interested. Here's my take on the whole thing. For many, many years, this pastor, Vincent Xavier, prayed and publicly took it to the airwaves for years that God would send a Josiah into the White House, that God would bring four anointings. I preached on the four anointings 15 years ago. And those four anointings were the anointing of Phinehas, the anointing of Elijah, the anointing of Jehu, and the anointing of Josiah. And I said, if those four anointings would work in the United States, they would break the yoke. And I made it very clear that both Phinehas, the man that took the spear into the tent and stabbed it through the Israeli man, the Midianitish woman. And God said to Moses, now I'm going to stop the curse and I'm going to bless the house of Phinehas forever. Why? Because he didn't ask for any permission. He just saw the very sin that was killing people all over that camp in Israel. And he took a spear and put it through it and the plague stopped. That's an anointing, that Phinehas anointing. That is righteous zeal for the purpose of God to put an end to things that are causing problems. You got to love that. And then, of course, that Elijah anointing to contend with Jezebel, to contend with the spell over the people on Mount Carmel, to bring the people back to God. We certainly need that to bring a nation back to God. And then, of course, Jehu that deals with Jezebel, the dogs eat her flesh. She falls out of the window because that man was an anointing to deal with Jezebel, to wipe her out. And then, of course, Josiah, and this is particularly the story that I always read, that Josiah would come to power, and here he is, this young king in Israel. The nation's in shambles. It's a mess. And all of a sudden, Josiah, somebody brings to him the law, the Torah, the word of God. It's read to him, and all of a sudden, he rips his clothes, and he says, oh, my goodness, No wonder why we are in so much trouble as a nation. We have forsaken the law of the Lord. So he gathers everybody together, and he gathers the elders and the political people and the priests and the prophets, and he covenants. He brings them into a covenant with God that they would obey him, and then he begins a reformation throughout the land of Israel. And he brings his army throughout the nation, and he's turning upside down these altars of idolatry. He's pulling down the infamous laws. He's pulling down the groves and the house of the Sodomites. He's burning in fire. He's breaking down. He's going through the land in a reformation. Now, before he did, he sent some people to a woman named Huldah. She was a prophetess in Jerusalem. And here's what Huldah said, and here's where my take is on this, okay? Huldah said to the men, go back to Josiah, tell him, because your heart is tender before the Lord, you're not going to see the pronouncement of judgment described by the word of God, by the prophets. You're not going to see it. In other words, whatever God put in your heart, Josiah, go and do it with all your might. And that's when he really went out and he started bringing reformation. And the glory of God was being exalted in the land. However, the very next king after him opened the door to the destruction that had been prophesied before. And I believe that if this is a moment of reprieve in this country, and this is an opportune season to win souls by promoting righteousness, then God granted our request. If that's really what's happening, it's hard to see through the smoke. But through the wisdom of God and having eyes to understand, hearts to understand, this is the possibility. This is what Mark is talking about and others. This is a moment for the church to rise. This is the moment for the Josiah Reformation. Trump is in there. He's leading the charge. There's something that resembles that. And so that is a very positive thing. However, we have this knowledge, what the left is doing, the progressives, what they want to do. Here's their desire. Just like what just happened in these midterm elections, where they won many seats in the Congress. Here's what they want to do. They want to get Trump out. They want to either assassinate him, impeach him, or something. In 2020, they want to put their man or woman into power, right? However, what Trump is doing right now, he's loading the Supreme Court of the United States, the bench, with people that are supposedly going to be favorable to the Christian cause, or the cause of morality, the cause of righteousness. So my take is, live right now while there's light, because the darkness comes where no man will be able to work. That's what Jesus said. So if this is that Josiah moment and there are four anointings, let's see Jezebel, that spirit that works in governmental hierarchy. Let's see Jezebel fall to the ground and the dogs eat her flesh. Let's see that spirit bound up, cast out, and the people that were under its influence and being used go to prison. Let's see it. I want to see it. Do you want to see it? Do you want to see Roe versus Wade overcome? Do you want to see homosexual marriages illegal again? And I say again because it was always illegal until this generation. Abortion was illegal until this generation. So wouldn't we love to see those laws put away, righteousness exalted, and the shout of the people of God roaring throughout the land? Well, we have a further problem. We have a further problem. There's a globalist agenda. Now, you know, you talk about a globalist agenda. America's, what we're really wanting is the one nation under God to come back to its sovereign original intent by the founding fathers, not the few deists, but the genuine founding fathers that had a cause to promote Jesus Christ in our society, right? So we're trying to get our independent sovereign nation back. But there's a globalist agenda. There are kings and governments and armies and presidents all over the world that are favorable to the cause of Islam, that are positioning themselves to break the United States of America, open its borders, flood it with culture, ideology, religions, to flood this place, change its constitutions into a global charter, bring Jesus Christ down and exalt others, whether it's Buddhism, Confucianism, Hinduism, atheism, agnosticism, okay, Islam, to bring Jesus down from his high throne, which they're never going to do in truth, but to promote in the nation that kind of thing so that the nations are under the continual spell. Now, it's already happened in a large degree. It's already happened in a large degree. So when we read Proverbs and we think about what's happening in our society, here's where we as people of faith have to understand, I believe, that regardless what goes on in this world, we are citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You see, that is a genuine reality, and I hope you resonate with that, that, you know, you're not in denial. You're not silent. Your voice is being used to declare the truth to the nations of the earth, because every soul that dies apart from Christ is eternally damned. I mean, that's just really, really sad. Now, God has it in his mind. Who's going to be saved and who's not? He's the judge of all of that. Thank God we're not. But what we're told is that we're to go into all the world, preach the gospel. Whoever believes will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be damned. Okay? So every soul that does not receive Christ as personal Savior and Lord is going to be lost forever. God's treasure. He is his greatest creation. Our job is to go on a treasure hunt to win as many souls as possible. Now, that and the conflict is with the principalities, the powers, the spiritual hierarchy of the satanic realm that is blinding and controlling people's minds. And our job is to articulate our argument for Christ to bring light to their minds so that they could be set free. And that's powerful. I mean, all the angels of heaven rejoice for one sinner that repents. That's huge. However, while we're doing that, you and I actually, and let me, I have to be very careful how I say this. You and I, on a very personal level, in our personal union with Christ, our intimate relationship with our Father, Papa God, right? And having Holy Spirit influences within us, knowing that eternal life is in us, we look at this world and we go, this is like an ounce compared to a zillion pounds on the one side of God's eternal glory, and what's going on planet Earth is like an ounce. In other words, the things that we have been brought into through our faith are so beyond everything here. But while we're here, we've got to bring others into God's glory through preaching Jesus Christ. Amen? And so when we stop, like we were talking about yesterday, and we go out to the edge of our galaxy and we look at the 400 billion stars within our own galaxy and then understand there are over 200 billion galaxies, and yet within our own galaxy there are 400 billion stars, a solar system, planets, and Earth, and in our, it's just in our one Milky Way galaxy. And then know that there are billions of others and possible even universes, plural. I mean, it just puts things in perspective of what's important. I want to see America and the church in America healthy again. Wouldn't that be awesome to see a healthy bride of Christ? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see men and women of faith around this country laboring together with the one thing in common, win souls by preaching Jesus Christ and the cross? Forget about the doctrine, the theology. Leave that to the churches to teach it, and trust that people will grow up into other things, right? And if anybody's truly seeking the Lord, God will reveal it. But the church, the ecclesia, there's only one, and there's only one spirit that guides the mind of that church, right? The church saving souls. Saving souls. Now, what I think is pretty awesome is that there are people making movies like in PureFlix. You turn on a PureFlix movie, and there are some amazing movies that they're putting out there. So they're doing it to elevate Jesus Christ, promote Jesus Christ through Hollywood. Maybe you're supposed to be an actor or an actress, to be a songwriter. Maybe you're supposed to be a poet or a preacher or a street preacher. Maybe God has put something inside of you that will direct the rest of your life. Maybe you're just that faithful husband. Maybe you're just that one person that you have influence with a few people around you, and you have been the light in their lives. You have been the one constant to maybe 10 people or 15 people around and about you. You've been the one constant source. You haven't fallen away. You've remained faithful. You've been that father, that grandfather, that grandma, that mother, the one that everybody knows is the Christian woman or the godly man. And that right there will have eternal consequences, like the evangelist Billy Graham, who won millions of souls, but said, would to God that those souls would have stayed the course. Remember that? Remember that? So there's something you are called to do, something I'm called to do, to win souls, to battle it out. And you watch some of these incredible PureFlix movies and other Christian movies that are coming out. And then you watch YouTube videos of people that are intelligent with the mind of Christ. They have a spiritual intelligence to them. And then you communicate with the body of Christ without a cell phone, thank God. When you actually talk to people, when you're actually sharing ideas with people, going to Bible studies, going to services, trying to keep it traditional. You know, we don't have to gather together in the traditional church mindset that's been promoted and for a season did work. But gathering together and bumping bodies, you know, handshakes, hey, how you doing? Getting the word of God out there, preaching it with sincerity and the unadulterated, hey, let's study the word of God. This is deep. It's an onion. And my understanding of this word is going to go deeper and deeper and deeper as time goes by. Is that moment being afforded to us right now? Is that the moment we're in? Or are we in that moment that while we're winning souls, gathering together, that we're also preparing? 7-point earthquake in Alaska that just well, a seismologist and especially, heck, new friend, predicted that earthquake. Called and said, Hector, I wanted a snow. He said, the earth is breaking everywhere. On November 11th, global shaking took nobody even, hardly detected it. And when they did, awed. Science out. How did this happen? Because do you know that we're expecting a 9.2 on the west coast? That there are prophecies, massive earthquake that will shake from California to Las Vegas, that will split, and that a tsunami will actually hit the west coast from San Diego to Washington. Do you know that there are prophecies of an taking a sword by Kandahar, a sword right in the middle of a sharp sword right to the middle of this continent and splits right off? Do you know there are prophetic themes that are from the Holy Spirit that multiple nuclear weapons are going to be detonated in multiple cities across the United States on the same day? Probably between 9 and 10 a.m. Do you realize on 9/11/2001, everything stopped? Do you know what's coming next? Because now there's a woman that was part of the Muslim extremism who's now born-again Christian, trying to wake Christians up, saying, why aren't you guys confronting and contending with Islam in America? Because they are now operating. There's a huge operation being planned right now for this country. That's why it's been so quiet. And the only way they could possibly do what they're going to do is having help from the insiders. And she said that the insiders were the leftists, the progressives, the globalists. Do you know that? I mean, people coming out of Islam understand, and they're trying to tell Christians, well, Christians are being told to just love everybody, tolerate, don't confront. We should know better than that. And you could go on with the prophecies about a financial collapse. We've already been witnessing the beginning of sorrows with the massive hurricanes, the tornadoes, the volcanoes on the islands of Hawaii. Come on. So we've already seen some earthquakes. But what happens when this North American continent shakes so violently that we actually begin to see landmass split? So God has been telling some people all along, while you're going preaching the kingdom, prepare. And the beauty of that is that while we're preparing, not in fear, but out of obedience, Noah prepared his ark in fear, but it was reverential respect for what God told him to do. Now you're doing both, right? You're preparing. You have a place to go, right? You have some things prepared so that in the event you got to go through a period of time, you're going to be okay. There's wisdom in that, man. There is peace in that. Do you know, for years we told people, our ministry did, We advocated that every person that has a car should have a 3-day backpack in the car with enough supplies to get you from here to there. If your car breaks down on the freeway and you've got to walk 70 miles or 100 miles or 30 miles, you'll be able to have your little pack. You should have some warm clothes, cool clothes, sneakers, tennis shoes, whatever you have to get through from one place to another for 3 days. Should have it there. We've been warning people for this. And because nothing on the mega scale, like the 9/11 times 1,000, has happened yet, some people interpreted that as, oh my gosh, you know, what was I doing thinking about this? This is never going to happen. We're too big of a country. That thought should never be entertained by people that God already told to prepare. Because you know that God told you to prepare. He made it abundantly clear that you were supposed to prepare. He made it abundantly clear that at a certain moment, these things that were prophesied are going to happen. And he kept that alive in those that are preparing by all the stuff we saw. I mean, tens of thousands of people have nothing left in California because of these amazing fires. Tens of thousands of people lost everything in the hurricanes. Puerto Rico became a mess. I mean, think about all the stuff that's been going on. So people have been shot and killed here, there, and the other place, right? All this stuff going on. And that has been the labor pains, right, to keep people that God's told to prepare alert, alive, and dedicated to what he's told them to do. And maybe it hasn't been necessary up until this moment, but Noah built his ark for 100 years before he needed it for a year. He spent 100 years preparing for 1 year of difficulty. We're going to have a difficulty, according to Scripture, 3.5 years. 3.5 years of tribulation. And the saints that get caught into that tribulation, they're going to be killed. Many of them are going to die. But they're going to be made white in the blood of the Lamb. The tribulation is going to deal with spots and wrinkles and heart issues that weren't right before God. While an elect overcoming bride of Christ is going to go into the wilderness for 3.5 years where there is a place prepared. You don't think God's preparing a place for his people right now as we see prophecy being fulfilled at every level? So you're an individual. You're a person. You have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're on an eternal journey. Your moment on this earth is a vapor, and so is mine. What is your life, James said, but a vapor that's here today and gone tomorrow? So we're never supposed to get caught up in fear. We should never allow ourselves to get offended because these things work on us psychologically to separate us from what God's wanting to get done. No, our fear is obeying God. We fear the Lord. If he tells us to do something, we do it out of reverence for him. Okay, we're working out a salvation from the inside out so that we become like Jesus. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to make us like Jesus. And a lot of people can't fathom that idea. And yet it's replete in Scripture in the New Covenant that we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're being conformed into the image of Christ. We're born again. We're new creatures. Put off the old man, put on the new man. I mean, everywhere in the New Covenant, the design of the fivefold ministry of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher is to equip the saints until we all come into the fullness of the stature of the firstborn Son of God, until we come to a perfect man, a teleos man, into the likeness of Christ. I mean, it's all there. And we should be very much preoccupied with that internal reality, personal. And yet we're in a world that's filled with chaos, confusion, in every direction. In every direction. So, I'm going to leave it there for just a moment. And Patricia Joy Xavier is going to come on today. Why? Because we're broadcasting on Omega Radio and Blog Talk Radio. And even though we weren't able to get some calls coming in today, which we'll work that out as we go, I believe we have a very clear signal. We received, the ministry received, Omega Radio received a beautiful brand new computer that is able to stay on 24/7. And that's exactly what I had to do last night. You leave it running 24/7. Well, this computer has a liquid cooling system And that's how we go 24/7. It's built for that. And it was given to the ministry. And so we're rejoicing. And we want to be faithful with what God has given us. And we want to make sure that we get the saints of God equipped and prepared. And hopefully we've done a little bit of that today. And I know Patricia's going to do that. And here's what's really cool. You want to see something really cool? Watch this. I'm going to go to a little break, right? But I'm going to go to Sam Broadcaster. And watch this. This is going to be so cool. And let's see. Watch this little commercial. I could just go time out and watch. Well, I don't know what just happened. I think I was praying like this in-between thing. But before I get in any trouble, I'm going to leave it set right there. I'm going to go back to the microphone. Patricia, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing very well, and it's good to be back on the air.
Well, we welcome you back.
Yes, praise be to God. God bless all in all. And it is a good time, body of Christ, because God is blessing our work. And we are excited about it because I believe we have something to offer in the way of God's knowledge and understanding for the times we're in. And because of that, because of the times we're in, we realize that we are entering into the tribulation if we have not already started from the very beginning of it. And how are we to be according to Saint Peter when he describes that we are to be a certain way under these circumstances? And so I wrote a book to lay down the foundation of the power we have been given, because body of Christ and those that are listening throughout the world, our hearts must become pure at this time. The tribulation is a reality. And if we are going through it, and I for one believe we are, others believe we're going to be raptured up prior to it. I don't see that as a reality according to the word of God, but we all are coming into the agreement of what is true by the Spirit of the Holy One, slowly but surely. But we desire to have the truth, and the truth will set us free. And now, with the understanding that there will be tribulation, we are still here. Whether we go pre, mid, post, matters not. Our hearts have to be right. If it is a pre-trib, then we must be the virgins of God that was talked about in Matthew 25 about having the oil that has not been sniffed down and out, and those that are of the five virgins of the ten that have not the oil will be thrown into outer darkness, doors closed. Those who have the oil will continue with the will of God, become the wonderful, beautiful bride, entering in and also rising up as the army of the Lord. And so which way do we go, and how do we get there? Well, there is the power we have been given. But to comprehend the things that we must have a depth of knowledge and understanding of the activity taking place in the spiritual realm. Now, many of us don't get involved in that to the degree in which it's necessary because we believe we've been saved and everything is going to work out well. But body of Christ, we have been given the victory, but we have to take that victory that we have been granted, and we have to do exploits. And through the ages, there have been those in the church who have continued to believe that Christians can be demon oppressed. However, here's the problem. There have been others who, through the teachings of alleged modern schools of theology, have accepted materialistic ideas and concepts rather than the spiritual. So it's all intellectual. Thus, what has happened? They have substituted and confused the acts of demonization and possession with emotional and mental impairment. And therefore, they're greatly deceived. So we have to do a study. I wrote a book called Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. to do this study, to see where we stand in a time such as this. Are we going to be like Esther and do great exploits and overcome the wicked one within our own lives and then help others of the same? Because without that, there's going to be great destruction for us. Let's look at it. Let's get into it deeper. In the original Greek, the word possessed means, now hear this clearly, because we have to have an understanding of the original Greek. The word possessed means to exercise harsh control over one, to have or to be vexed, to use one's power against one, to oppress one with a devil, a demon. So, most of the church has denied the fact that Christians can have devils. Now, where does that leave us? I believe the denial of demon spirits or devils have caused a great darkness to fall upon the church. And it's a great deception. And this deception continues because of a lack of knowledge of the word oppress. You see, Satan is so clever. He is such a deceiver. He can bring us into confusion. And that's exactly what he's done in the church of God. For us to be victorious, just like victorious in this nation, there can't be division because a house divided falls. We know that. Well, it's the same within the church. But we have been granted the word of God. We have been even been given rights through the Constitution of the United States to have this right. And even that's being or trying to be taken away from us by the work of the evil one. So the question that is often raised is, how can you have, now listen carefully, how could you or not, you or I have the Holy Spirit and Jesus residing in us and have a devil or devils? Well, it sounds right. I agree it sounds right, but regardless of professed modern theology that you learn in the schools of theology, Christian can have an indwelling devil as an undesirable trespasser. I believe this, and I went through great pain and study to bring this to fruition for us to understand our position as the army of God, or we're not going to be able to fight any good fight, are we? Now, I want to stress this importance of this particular point. I'm going to repeat it. A Christian can have an indwelling devil as an undesirable trespasser. That's what I believe. This is where the Lord brought me in study. And it's of the utmost importance that I stress this point to you, as you will be questioned sternly as I have when you begin operating in the spiritual knowledge. However, many people are starting to come to ask for deliverance now because somehow the Spirit of God is reaching their hearts to understand that they have problems that they can't get rid of, even though they keep praying. What's wrong with this picture? So this understanding is not as prevalent as it should be in the church in general, but it's starting to happen. And you have to have a ready answer when questioned. And you will be questioned by many that are of a lesser understanding or more religious than spiritual in Christ. Religiosity just chokes out the word, the full meaning of the word in every way. So a trespasser, who is a trespasser? A trespasser is one who unlawfully comes upon the territory of another. Unlawfully, not lawfully, unlawfully comes upon the territory of another. And you know, in the realms of heaven, there is a great courtroom there. And they, in that realm, the saints of God and the move of the incredible work of our Father and the Holy Spirit and our Lord Jesus Christ, works by the law of love and brings forth the truth from the courtrooms of heaven as to what is lawful for the enemy and what is unlawful for the enemy to have the trespassing right. So let's go into that in a little bit. I want to expand on it. But let's get to the case of a Christian. It is, in the courtrooms of heaven, listen to me carefully, it is unlawful for Satan. Now, in case of an unbeliever, it's lawful. They're already in a position of condemnation. So why is it unlawful for Satan and his devils to trespass upon a Christian? Because we, listen carefully, we as Christians have received redemption. Praise God. And we have been purchased by the precious and all-powerful blood of Christ. That was a great, incredible purchase. Nothing like it since the world began or ever will be like it for eternity. In the courtrooms of heaven, the devil has no legal right to trespass upon the Christian. So what's the problem? The devil and his devils will continue to try to trespass and perform their unlawful practices until they are confronted and challenged legally from the courtrooms of heaven on the basis of your legal rights as the redeemed, who you are, the redeemed, if you are truly redeemed through the blood of Christ. And how do we know if we are truly redeemed? By our faith. If we have received this great gift of redemption by faith through Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ is covering us and keeping us in the time of safety. Remember in the day of the Passover, the day in which in the time of Moses, where Egypt was being defiled because of their desire to hold on to God's people, and Pharaoh would not let them go, and Moses came to set them free. What needed to be done? The blood of the Lamb needed to be put over the posts of each homes of the Hebrew children, and by doing that, safety was for them. Safety was theirs. And when the evil demonic presence of sickness, disease, and plagues came through Egypt to find destruction for the Hebrew children and to destroy them, they could not enter into their homes to kill them and destroy them. And who are they? They are the plagues, the sickness, and the disease, and all that Pharaoh was trying to release upon his wicked heart, release upon in his wicked heart to do. They were kept safe by the blood of the Lamb, type and shadow of what Jesus Christ, the innocent Lamb. And these lambs had to be pure lambs. They had to be innocent lambs, beautiful little innocent lambs. And Jesus Christ went to the cross as a beautiful innocent lamb to pay the price and shed his blood so it will be covered over our mantle, our minds, our hearts, our souls, our physical bodies, to be saved in these latter days and the last 2,000 years if we so believe. We have legal rights under those circumstances, and based on those legal rights, we have the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you are ignorant of your legal rights and what Christ did for you, Satan and his devils will wreak havoc upon your life. And now more than ever, because he has come down with great anger, knowing his time is short, this is scripturally sound. And he will play havoc on anyone that is opening the door
through their weak faith, and havoc will come upon them. And maybe through that, God will find them position where they will cry out and say, "Help me. I no longer am going to play games with you, Lord." But if we, who understand the will and way of our Lord, begin to understand these things now, we will do great exploits, not only for our own lives, but for those around and about us that we love dearly, and for those who have been lost in their Christian darkness. I want you to look around. Can you deny what you see before your own eyes? I see it all the time. Look, there's always some kind of painful situation that plagues us because the devil has invaded either ourselves or the people we love or someone in the church. Look at the divorce. Look at the child abuse. Look at the sickness and disease and constant frustration, hatred, and anger in the souls of Christians even, let alone the world. The root of bitterness has come and choked out. Toxic has come forth and choked out life within us and defiled not only ourselves, but defiled many around and about us. There's a defilement in the root of bitterness, and you can find it within a Christian who is even ignorant of their situation. An open door opportunity for the enemy to come in and play havoc upon their lives, especially when the enemy knows that they have called themselves Christians, because the warfare of light and darkness is between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. There's no other reason for what's going on in the earth, in the world today. No other reason except for Satan to gain control and hold of this world and its system. And he's doing a quick work right now. And we, who are the children of light, cannot have an interference with the demonic presence who has already taken so much control within our own lives. And how do we become aware of what our situation is? By looking closely into ourselves to see, is there a root of bitterness dwelling within us? And if we're not aware of it, then we have to look at ourselves as called out Christians, because the enemy will take an advantage of this in this time more than any other time. Is he going to be angry with us? And he is going to be so deceptive. We have to search our hearts and see whether or not we are unforgiving or have not forgiven someone who has offended us deeply. Could be in our childhood, growing up, this very moment in time. Matters not. We must forgive all who have offended our lives, ourselves, our minds, our spirits. We must forgive every single individual in this world that has offended us, including mommy and daddy, grandma and grandpa, great-grandma and grandpa, because it also comes down through generational bloodline curses. If there is a root of bitterness within our souls, we will choke out the word, and the enemy will have an advantage, and we will not even be aware of ourselves. We will be deceived, darkened, and then the enemy will play havoc upon our lives. Let us become aware. We can't deny these situations exist in our lives, in the church, sometimes in our own spouses that call themselves Christians. We look at them and we go, how could it be possible? husbands and wives look upon each other and say, how could they be brought in this direction or that direction? Because there's a great deception upon the earth right now and devouring many Christians. We have to be strong. We have to put on the armor of righteousness and truth. Let's look at it. Did not Satan come to steal, destroy, and kill? Satan will stop at nothing to influence us toward evil. Nothing. He does not want a Christian to be living on the face of this earth, not one, because we are his problem, because we carry the Holy Spirit of grace within us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He hates Christ and Christ within us. To destroy us would be his greatest joy. And so if he has a way in, he will take an advantage because he comes to steal, destroy, and kill. He is not going to stop at anything to influence us toward evil, to be unforgiving. And the consequence of that is destruction of our very spirit, mind, and body. If we allow him to get away with this, he will continue an unlawful practice upon the church until he is confronted and challenged on the basis of our legal rights. Now, if we don't know them, how are we going to fight the good fight of faith? The same thing with the capital of the United States of America. If they don't know their legal rights in the Constitution that we have been granted in this nation, it's going down. It's no different. You see, we copy the things that are of the heavenly on earth. Need to know their legal rights and what they are. What I've witnessed in my experience with most Christians is that either by choice or by incorrect teaching, which the enemy loves, they do not know what their legal rights are in the spiritual kingdom. They have been ignorant, lacking wisdom, and it's regrettable. And I'm speaking of spiritual law here. Spiritual rights, legalities that a Christian must know if he or she is to be victorious over evil. That's what I'm talking about. I want you to really consider getting my book. You could go to Amazon and order it, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Or you can get in touch with me, Patricia Joy Xavier at gmail.com, and I can send you my book, and it will be for a price of $10, so I can continue to make more and help the ministry. It will not be over what it needs to be. I want you to have it. I'm making it as accessible to you as possible. Or you can send a gift to Omega Radio Station, Pastor Vincent Xavier, P.O. Box 100, Decatur, D-E-C-A-T-U-R, Arkansas, 72722, with a gift offering. And I will be happy to send my book free to you, because I want to give back what God has given to me. But more than anything, I want us to rise up as an army of God in the days in which we're in, where we're hand to hand, shoulder to shoulder, victorious soldiers of the cross, not as it was in the Crusades, but as it is in the Spirit of the living God, powerful and mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Body of Christ, it's our turn now to rise up victoriously over the work of the evil one. You know that as a Christian, you have been bought and you have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. There isn't any greater gift on earth than that gift that has been given to us. And while the world is in deception, and I mean all over the world, and darkness is covering the minds of multitudes, hundreds, millions of people, we have been given the greatest gift to have clarity of mind, spirit, and heart through the blood that was shed 2,000 years ago on the cross. Folks, it's not a fairy tale. It's a truism, and one that could only be understood by the desire to receive that gift that has been given to us. And when Satan and his devils come, they want to trespass on territory that is already owned and already has been purchased, and they have no legal right to move on our property, our bodies, our minds, our spirits, our souls. They can infiltrate in all those areas. Our spirit man, however, they cannot if we truly have been born again. So we've been commissioned and given by God the power and the right to protect this property and to drive out and keep Satan out, keep him out by the divine wisdom he has given us, because he already gave us the victory over Satan on the cross. He overcame him on the cross. He went down into hell, wiped him out, came back up victorious, resurrected, so we too can resurrect with him for eternity. Resurrected in spirit, mind, body. And for eternity, never have to fight this warfare again. We have been commissioned and given by God the power and right to protect ourselves. But unfortunately, we have been unaware of Satan's tactics of deception and of our rights and authority. And as I was speaking, I realized that many people say, well, we'll be in war again during the time of the millennium at the end of it. Not us. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We will be ruling and reigning with him. And in that time, where Satan will rise up again to try the nations that have not come into the glorious realization of who Christ really is. So they've been ruled over well, and they will have great opportunity. And the kings of the earth, the politicians, the governments will be able to come in and out and give their gifts to the holy city. Oh, it's going to be a victorious time like nothing we've ever known, but we will not. Those who have overcome the enemy have overcome the enemy by the truth of Christ and what he has done for us. Love you. God bless you. I hope you've been helped in some way. Get your sword ready. God bless you.
Vincent.
to our friends over at Blog Talk Radio, if you would continue to listen to the Omega Radio Network 24/7, head on over there now. Have a super blessed day. That's omegaradio.org, and then click the Listen Live tab on the menu bar.